Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show.
Radio.
Oh, I forgot.
It's too young to be on that bridge. It's too young.
Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, relationship healing expert, helping men and women heal their bodies, their relationships, and their lives through love. Author of the book, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and director of HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com. You can reach me directly or schedule an appointment at DrEricaWellness.com. Finding a job at any age can be a difficult task, especially when the economy is in a downturn. Looking for a job when you are in your late 40s, over 50, and beyond can be frustrating, painful, and for many of us, impossible. Our special guest today is Mary Eileen Williams, author of the book Land the Job You Love, 10 Surefire Strategies for Job Seekers Over 50, and host of the popular blog and radio show Feisty Side of 50 at feistysideof50.com. She has 20 years of combined experience as a career and life transition counselor, job search specialist, university professor, and writer. As a nationally board-certified counselor with a master's degree in career development, Mary Eileen specializes in working with job seekers in midlife, baby boomers, and beyond, showing them the latest techniques for landing a job in the 21st century. So welcome, Mary Eileen.
Dr. Erica, thank you so much for having me on your show.
So let's just jump right in, and I would like you to tell us a little bit about your background and what made you decide to write this book.
Well, thank you again for allowing me the opportunity to speak to people out there who have been feeling discouraged and that their chances for finding employment have been presented as slim to none, so to speak. That is actually the reason why I wrote the book. As you mentioned, I've been in the career development field, job search specialty field, for a little over actually 20 years. And the last several years, due to the economic downturn, I was seeing people come through my door who had recently been laid off, and they were already feeling that their chances of finding work were practically nil. They were discouraged, defeated, and they hadn't even begun their job search yet. So it made me realize that there must be a lot of us baby boomers out there who may have held jobs for 10, 15, 20, 25 years even, had, you know, again, recently lost them and didn't know where to start. So that's the reason I wrote Land the Job You Love. I wanted to give them it's a book workbook. So they have everything they need to follow the steps to actually navigate successfully today's job market. Because with a few critical tips, I think it can make a huge difference in their prospects.
So is there some major factor or issue that holds people back at this age, particularly from getting what they want in a job or getting any job?
I have to say, first off, I will begin with a disclaimer. I do realize times are tough out there, and I do not want to discount anyone's experience because I know it can be discouraging and disheartening, to say the least. However, I truly feel the major reason that we are not, you know, successful in our job search is because of we start to buy into all that bad news. It's the perception that we are too old to be attractive or valued in the job market today. And Dr. Erica, if you don't mind, I'm going to, this is a little bit of my soapbox. It's a lot of my soapbox. So I'm going to go off on this for a couple of minutes, if you'll bear with me, because
this
I really
fine.
Feel... Thank you. I really feel that our attitude about ourselves, our confidence, our enthusiasm that we present, the energy we bring to the job search is all underscored by, again, how we feel we will be perceived out there. And there has been so much bad news that I am going to come at things from a positive perspective. I have five reasons I suggest people do not buy into this. Reason number one, you have to consider the source of all the bad news. That's the media, and they love to spin bad news. We know that all too well. Reason number two, the statistics that they are throwing at us are, by virtue of definition of statistics, they're generalities. So they cannot take into account who an individual has in their personal network, how they're conducting their job search, how many hours a day they're putting into it, how many opportunities for what they do are, you know, in their local area. All these kinds of individual factors are not, you know, obviously borne out by these statistics. Reason number three, I think it's really true that a lot of boomers, who have been employed for a number of years, don't know the key couple of tricks, kind of insider tricks, of how they can present themselves most effectively. So they're drawing from these statistics of people who are looking for a job like we might have in 1986 or something. And then I'm going to have two more reasons, so I'm taking your patience as to the limit here. Reason number four is, and people might not believe me, but I really think this is true. By virtue of our numbers, 78 million of us, we have always changed the face of society. We have done our multiple movements as baby boomers. I know you'll agree with me on this one, Dr. Erica. And we've already changed the face of the workforce. Also with our numbers, right now about a third of the workforce is over 50. So it's not that we are the strange ones or the anomaly any longer. We are in with the in crowd. And so what I'm saying is I truly believe ageism is out there, but it's dying. And just the way we started the youth movement in this society, we are, you know, by virtue of our numbers, again, we are starting the age movement. So that's reason number four. And reason number five, if the listeners do not believe one other thing I've said, any of my four reasons, reason number five is critical. If you present yourself in a job search as defeated, as no one's going to hire me because I'm over 50, as old, tired, nobody wants me, that's the way you'll come off. And you need to, as I just said, you need to present yourself with confidence, with enthusiasm for the position and the organization you're going after, but also with enthusiasm of what you, as a unique individual with lots of skills and experience behind you, bring to the table. And again, so that positive focus really underscores everything. So those are my five reasons. Thanks for giving me the time, because you can tell.
Oh, those are powerful. I have a question along that line.
Yes.
Is there something that you think that older job seekers, is there something different that maybe they need to do? And also, is there any advantage that they can tell the people, the potential employer, any advantage to hiring an older person?
Oh, thank you for asking that one, because, again, I've got energy behind that too, Dr. Erica. You can tell this is one of my favorite topics. There are a ton of advantages we bring as older workers, but I'm going to go back to one thing about the previous question that I really want to make sure people understand, and that is the statistics that, again, the news media has been putting out there are not borne out by the truth, and this is not getting nearly enough airtime. It's really something I want people to understand. There are the real facts about being over 50 is, number one, the greatest percentage of those of us still employed are boomers. Our unemployment numbers are far lower than any other age group. Another thing is that most businesses by far are begun by people aged 55 to 64. So in other words, a lot of these mom and pop stores or small organizations or places like that, those are where the real hiring is taking place now. And I fall in that age group. I'm not going to discriminate against somebody who's 53, 54, 60, 62. They're my peers. So that is another positive thing. And finally, this came out in U.S. News and World Report. Unfortunately, it came out on April 1st, April Fool's Day of last year, this year, but it is not a joke. And what they did is they were spouting, or they were referencing the Board of Labor Statistics numbers, who had run a tracking thing for hiring over the previous 15 months. So in other words, these were tracked from January 1st, 2010 to April 1st of this year, 2011. And what they did is they tracked hiring by age groups. And surprisingly to many, it's not getting a lot of play in the media, which, again, infuriates me. However, the workers that were landing the most jobs by far were those 55 and older. In fact, they had gotten 1.3 million jobs in that 15 months, and the group, the age group that was came in second, 25 to 34, they only got 709,000. So we were almost double that age group. So there are, again, thank you, but there are many.
You are providing some really valuable statistics that none of us really know about. So it's very encouraging.
Thank you, because as I said, it's so important that we understand our own value. It truly is. And now, if you'll allow me a couple more minutes, I would like to talk about some of the real advantages that seasoned, I like to call us seasoned, applicants bring to the table. One, no 25-year-old or 30-year-old can compete with the market knowledge that we have. In our industry, we know who the competitors are, we know who the customers are, we know, from years of experience, so many aspects of the market that we are in. And even if we are changing other, you know, markets or making a career transition into another market, we bring with us all that kind of knowledge about, you know, the work, how to do the work, and all of that. We also have, over a lifetime, we have built up an extensive network. If you are dealing with customers or clients, you've got a lot of them by the time you reach your 50s. You've got former coworkers, you've got managers, you've got former supervisors, you have colleagues, you have friends, you have relatives, you have people that you know from, say, civic organizations. And one of the best ways, and I will go over this if we have time, but the best way you are likely to land a job still, no matter all the job boards on the internet, but it's still people get people jobs. So we've got a network, which is good for our job itself, but it's also the best way to find a job. In addition to all the skills, the job skills that we have built up over our lifetime, we have life skills. We understand the importance of being a contributing team player, of managing your emotions at work, all these kinds of aspects. We know what it's like to show up on time and perform well. We have learned these things. Perhaps we've made mistakes in the past, but by the time you're in midlife, you know this stuff, and this is a giant plus for organizations. And also, in addition to our life skills and mature work ethic, we also have staying power. People over 50 stay in positions 3 times longer than younger workers. So that is a true bottom line effect to an organization, because they don't have to pay to go through the hiring process, wade through all those resumes, and they don't have to pay to bring the person up to speed. In fact, they believe that to bring someone into a new position costs about half that position's annual salary. So it's a huge savings to organizations. And these figures of the 55-plus hiring, it's bearing that out. They're understanding it.
It's really interesting, and you provide so much hope for people. It's a whole new perspective. So I have a question. How can a job applicant proactively get in front of some key contacts and decision makers so that they can really get the job.
Oh, well, thank you again. That's we'll get down into some of the nitty-gritty now. As I mentioned, I think that the major way, again, this is borne out by a lot of numbers and studies, that the best way that you are most likely to find work is through people you know, or we call it informal referral. Does not have to be your best friend by any means. It's more likely to be a friend of a friend of a friend or an acquaintance or something like that. But you want to figure that at a minimum, when times are good, 75% of jobs, 75% of jobs are gotten through networking. So that's the way you want to spend at least 75% of your time in your job search. Again, sitting in front of the computer answering job postings is okay, but only about 15% of jobs are gotten that way. In a tight market, or the older you are, the more people are going to rely on networking, because if I were hiring someone, I have one of these mom-and-pop organizations that is doing a lot of the hiring now, I'm not going to necessarily do a job posting. I am going to ask workers who work for me, my colleagues, my friends, and all that, we need to bring on so-and-so, you know, we need to bring on a human resources person. Do you know anyone? So that's, you break into the hidden job market. There's so many important ways of getting the word out through networking. And in order to get yourself in front of some of these key contacts, especially in a difficult market, and especially as you're a little older, you want to take a proactive approach. So what I suggest to people is come up with a list of 10 to 15, you know, you can make it more, but maybe to start, just 10 to 15 organizations where you would like to work, and then network your way through the door into these organizations. So what I mean by that is you start with your friends, your immediate contacts. You do maybe an email, you know, kind of a blast, we call it an email, but you know, or send, you know, just when you're talking with them or when you're emailing them. I'm targeting this list of organizations, and I wouldn't give them perhaps all 15, but maybe, you know, each one 4 or 5 or something. I'm wondering, do you know anyone who knows someone there, or even who might know someone within that organization? And once you start getting in some of these referrals, you want to, you know, you have their contact information, and you say, may I use your name? That's important. Then what you do is you ask them for additional referrals inside that organization. You can approach these people through an email. I would do it through an email and then follow up later with a phone call. But what you do is you put that mutual contact's name at the beginning of the email. So-and-so suggested I contact you because of my interest in your company, and would you be willing to give me 15 minutes or so of your time? I'd love to find out more about your experience there. And if you make a time limit on it brief enough, people are likely to, you know, actually see you. You go in, you meet them face-to-face. You're not asking them for a job by any means at that point. You are asking them for information. And once you've had that connection and built that rapport, you can say something like, gee, you've been so helpful. Is there anyone else that might be willing to, you know, give me another 15 minutes again within that organization? And may I use your name? And all of a sudden, you started to network your way through the door into your targeted organizations.
Wow, that really is a good tip, to connect with people and then use their name so that it becomes more real and the next person can trust you more easily.
Well, and I know in your line of work, don't you feel, you know, a real connection when you have a face-to-face with people, with your clients?
Absolutely, and that's why I was going to ask what you think of joining the Chamber of Commerce in a local area or attending a business networking meeting that's local.
Those, Dr. Erica, yes, those are all great suggestions. The more that you can get out and about, now I know some people tend to hold their energy back a little bit and tend to be what we tend to term, you know, introverted, because they tend to, you know, these kinds of things can be frightening for some people. However, you really do in a job search, you kind of have to bite the bullet and get out there as much as possible. You do, people are going to find you jobs. There are lots of helpful organizations now because you'll find them in church groups. So it doesn't have to be huge ones like the Chamber of Commerce or something like that. You can find smaller groups that might appeal to people who tend to be a little hesitant in larger groups. Church groups are putting on a lot of job search support groups now, local organizations. I do a lot of speaking at libraries. So check your libraries, and you'll see, you know, job search groups or presenters, and then just try to get out there and meet as many people as you feel comfortable with and start to build, again, that group. Start to build your own personal network. You can't do anything better.
Well, what you're saying is, someone has lost their job and they may be out of work for a while and they're at the lowest point emotionally, and that is the time when you have to put yourself out a lot. And I remember a saying from Est from many years ago was to take fear by the hand. And I have that sense that this is the time to be strong, not while you have the job, but when you really need it to present a good image and be out there. So another question that you can help with is, what's the best resume format for mature job seekers? Should they list all their experience from years and years ago, or is there some better way?
You do not need to go back more than 10 or 15 years of experience. By far, most organizations are only interested in your most recent experience. Also, this is one of the questions as far as showing age on that resume that I get more than anything. And actually, it's, you know, again, you don't need to go back more than 10 or 15 years, but you may not, you know, if you have some major titles in front of your name, you don't want to start out as being the senior vice president or something or another. So you can show progression by listing job titles and organizations where you worked and removing the dates. But I would not try to, some people get so concerned about putting dates on their resume that they try to make themselves look like a 30-year-old. I would not suggest doing that either. You don't want to put anything on that resume that's going to eliminate you prior to walking through the door for an interview, but I wouldn't want to mislead people either, because once you do walk through that door, you don't want that person on the other side of the desk to think, wow, that, you know, start off on a bad foot, like, oh, they were expecting someone who's 35 when you're in your 50s. So age is a critical thing, and each person wants to present themselves well, of course, on a resume. But I would really, you know, it's a fine line between trying to hide your age and overblowing it as well. But the format that I think is the most important for seasoned applicants is what is called a hybrid resume format or a combination resume format. And what it is it actually draws the best from both the chronological resume format and the functional resume format. And we don't have time, I know, to go into a lot of details. I do have this information in my book, and you can find sample copies of a hybrid or a combination resume on the internet if you do that. But what it is there's a special section near the top of page one on that resume, which would be something career highlights, selected accomplishments, or one of my favorite headings on this was somebody in one of my workshops suggested, and it's key contributions. And what that means is these are some of the things that I have done for other organizations, so you can presume I will do something similar for yours. So by doing that special section up there at the top of page one, you are allowed to draw from the body of your work experience. In other words, you can go back. If some of your strongest accomplishments might have been 15 years ago, they might be on page two where they're not going to be viewed. So what you want to do is take from all of your work experience, put those strongest accomplishments right up there at the top of page one under this special section.
What a wonderful suggestion, because just a long list of all the places that you worked at doesn't explain it. It doesn't give the employer enough information. So along with having a really good resume, How can mature applicants best sell themselves in an interview? Are there some questions that you might be able to suggest and how you might answer them? We don't have too much time left, but just a quick overview.
Absolutely. Well, number one in the interview, again, that attitude is all important. By the time you walk through the door for an interview, you have basically been screened on your skills and experience. That's what your resume does. By the time you walk through the door for that interview, it is all about attitude and fit within the organization. So one of the things that you want to do is really think about your nonverbal messages you're sending, and I know, Dr. Erica, you're an expert on that, but things like handshake, eye contact, your voice tone, and smiling. Simple things like that can make a huge difference because most people judge people on first impressions. So basically that. However, you will be getting some questions that you want to answer, and I know we're running short on time, so I won't go over too many of these. But first off, you're going to be asked an open-ended question at the beginning of the interview, something like, tell me a little bit about yourself, tell me about your background, why are you applying here? This one, believe it or not, it should be simple to be able to talk in, you know, a minute or two about our background. It's not if you have not practiced this. So again, I have everything laid out in the book, but what I would suggest doing is you want to start off with pretty much what you have, your professional profile on your resume, which would be the function that you provided, a little bit of level of your experience, perhaps some environments you've worked in, if that, you know, that would underscore your your value to the employer. Then what you want to do is highlight some key skills that you will bring. You will find these key skills in the posting. Postings are where you understand what they are looking for. They are the customer. You are the product at this point. So you want to give the customer what they want. Of course, it has to be true, but you want to do that. So you can use speech softeners, something like I pride myself on, or I've always been complimented on, or people tell me I'm, and then list these skills and back them up with accomplishments. So you want to have examples. I call them winning examples. Plenty of them ready to go. The one question that tends to throw a lot of seasoned applicants is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? That old chestnut. Because a lot of people, you hate it when you're younger, but boy, when you're older, you really hate it. But what I like to say is think politician with that one. Answer the question, but don't necessarily, you know, answer it in all the detail. So what I suggest is positive and vague. So rather than saying, I want to be a manager in 5 years, I want to be a this or a that, they're not hiring you to do that. So what you want to do is say, I like to start out with this sentence. I like what I do, and I feel I'm good at it. And then go on to say something in the line of, I'm sure you will afford me many opportunities to grow my skill sets or give me great challenges where I will continue to follow through with these kinds of things. This is one of those ones where you want to do grow with the position, grow with the organization, positive and vague. And any of those kind of age type of questions, just remember that, that again, you want to remain positive in any of these kinds of situations because it all goes back to your attitude and your fit. They want someone who's going to have the skills to do the job, but they really want someone who wants the job and fits within their corporate culture.
Wow, you have provided so much wonderful information. So how can our listeners get in touch with you?
Well, thank you, Dr. Erica, and thank you for allowing me to do this because you can tell I could go on and on about this.
And so helpful. So many little suggestions like being vague and positive. So how can they get in touch with you?
Well, I would love them if they would come to my website, Feisty Side of 50, and 50 is spelled out, F-I-F-T-Y, so feistysideof50.com. And if you go to the Contact Me link at the top and send me your email, I'd be happy to show you how you can get a 20% discount on my book if you'd like. If you'd like to take a look at the book and some of the information inside, you can find it on Amazon. Again, it's Land the Job You Love 10. Surefire strategies for job seekers over 50. And if you've got any questions, please, again, just come to that Contact Me, and your questions will, you know, I'll get back to you, but, you know, they won't be posted as comments.
Well, thank you so much for appearing on our show today, Mary Eileen Williams. And in our next episode, we will be talking about somatics, a type of body therapy, mind-body awareness, and healthy aging with Jean Denny. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website at healthybabyboomersnetwork.com to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond, or schedule a private counseling or online coaching appointment at drericawellness.com.